Hello and welcome to Profiles in Risk. This is your host, Tony Canyas. Recently arrived back from InsurTech New York, a little bit sleep deprived and a little bit of a runny nose today. But this is my last meeting of the day before I get to go enjoy the rainy Atlanta afternoon. Today I have one of my favorite episodes, career episode. And today we are chatting with Carrie Macca. Carrie, how's it going today?
It's great, Tony. I spent the week early on at PLRB myself. So busy week for all of us out in the conferences, but great week. Thank you.
So many people were either at InsurTech New York, at CPCU Leadership, at PLRB, or the really, really, really lucky ones at InsurTech Insights London. And this is a really early start to the conferences. So normally conferences starts kind of April, March, like the week of March 18th. And we're already in conference season. So, I mean, I love conference season, so it's a good thing. Hopefully PLRB was good. I haven't even asked you about it. But in the Brian Falchuk era, I'm sure PLRB is a fantastic conference. And that's what I heard last year. So hopefully it was a good one for you. So you've had a really cool career, basically. Let's start at the very beginning. How did you end up falling into insurance? How did you end up at RLI?
Well, first of all, thank you, Tony, for having me. You're right. I started off on the business side of our industry many years ago. I actually, growing up, wanted to be a sports therapist. So like many of us in the insurance industry, we never thought we'd be here, but fell into it and never left, fell in love with it. I went straight into the business side as an underwriter with our Royal Sun Alliance, then RLI Special Risk here in the Northeast. That's back in the day when we didn't have technology. Underwriting was learning how to manually rate these coverages and lines of business one by one before you were allowed to get into any of the systems they actually had back then. Unique path to RLI was I followed over in another underwriter who brought me over there. And that was, again, back in the day when underwriters actually went out and did the physical inspections of the risks they were underwriting. So I had an opportunity to get out there, see the risks as I was underwriting them. From there, I moved on to the Hartford for the specialty area. And then finally, American States Liberty bought us out within 2 weeks of me being there, as they had a huge strategy to get into the commercial line side of the industry and went through several acquisitions to do so.
So hold on. Okay. Number one, I had no idea underwriters actually got to go out and look at risks. The field underwriter is becoming more and more popular now, but I did get to go out with loss control once as an underwriter, but I had no idea that was actually a thing back in the day. That's fantastic. So, but was your first job right out of college an underwriting role?
Underwriting.
That gave you some opportunity to go out and look at risks?
Underwriting for Royal Sun Alliance. And then when I moved over to RLI Special Risks, that's when I was able to go out and look at it, just a couple of them, but it still was a unique opportunity back in the day.
No, I wrote the book on how to engage millennials within the insurance industry. And I talk about this, about how entry-level jobs in our industry have really changed. Very few people start in underwriting today. I mean, maybe you're an RMI major and you get lucky and you start in an underwriting training program. But other than that, most of us start in the call center or in claims or selling or customer service. And by the time we make it to underwriting, it's been maybe 5 years. And I did a little bit faster than that because I did CPCU. So you go through three carriers, basically always commercial lines underwriting.
Correct.
One of those gets acquired, right? By Liberty. So that was already happening. But back then, so that acquisition, I am curious. Okay, so you were still an underwriter. You weren't yet in the leadership. Were you affected by the acquisition at all, or what did it feel like from your perspective?
Yeah, it wasn't, I wasn't really affected in as an individual underwriter per se. Liberty Safeco actually was trying to figure out what type of commercial lines risks they really wanted on their books. So that was probably the most area whence the acquisition happened that was back and forth for a while there for the underwriters. We want this on the books. This is not part of our appetite. And so they were really flushing that out as they did these acquisitions.
Okay. So you do about 7 years in underwriting, looks like from LinkedIn. And then you make a radical change and go to Lexis. So what led you to make that move to go to an industry vendor?
You know, Tony, it was my passion for the technology to help in these types of roles I was in. And really, a recruiter had reached out and asked about coming over to the technology space. And I was intrigued. I was intrigued at where technology was going to take our industry. And went for the interview and signed up. And it was a unique position to have that risk management underwriting skill set to come over to a technology platform. With my background and skill sets, I was able to work with the programmers to make sure they understood what that end user needed and make sure the product was market ready before they were going out and trying to sell it. So it was a unique blend, great opportunity, but what really drove me is my passion for technology in our space.
Okay. So you go to Lexis because you want to be closer to the technology and play on that side, recruited by a recruiter. And at Lexis, you have significant growth. So I'd love to hear about that time because so at the beginning of your career, you are at RLI for a good few years. You make a couple of moves, all of them underwriting, underwriting, underwriting. You get to Lexis, and you go for in a matter of just a few years, you have what looks like three or four promotions to the point that you find yourself as an RVP fairly young in your career. So how did you do that? Like, especially like what advice do you have for others to achieve that kind of growth once they find themselves in the right company, kind of doing the right thing?
Sure. So let me back up a step here. So I joined ChoicePoint at the time, and I was under the enterprise technology division. Now the industry knows them as Insurity. So policy, claims, reinsurance, data warehousing solution. It was a couple of years in when LexisNexis bought us out. Excuse me.
So second acquisition that you go through this time.
Yes, lots of acquisitions in our industry still happening today. But yes, I seem to have that trend in my career path. As I mentioned, I joined as a business analyst to help the programmers get the product market ready for that end user quickly because I instantly could connect with the audience. I understood their pain with technology. They moved me over to sales. And that's really where I built my credibility, relationships, and helped build that trust for the company and bringing on significant clients for them in using their core technology. Then went to leading teams. As you're probably seeing there with technology, I was with LexisNexis in that enterprise technology division for about 13 years. So I guess my advice for others on their career trajectory is to really, and many of you've heard this, but raise your hand, right? When you are looking to try something new or get involved in other things, when there's projects that are available, ask your manager to be put on those project teams.
Okay.
Sign up for new positions that you haven't tried along your career path. And many of you have heard this as well, but I'll just echo it. Find a mentor, a good mentor, even a
Super
sponsor.
important.
There's a big difference between a mentor and a sponsor. A sponsor is going to help you through that journey and raise their hand to get you more involved that you might not be able to do yourself.
And I would add, you need both an internal mentor and external mentor, that gives you a view into what's going on in the rest of the industry, and helps you think through things that you can't ask internally, right? If you're thinking of making a move, talking to your internal mentor is risky, or if you're wondering whether you're fairly paid, or if you're wondering. Right. If you see something that doesn't feel right, running that by an external mentor that you trust and who you know will hold it in confidence, I think is important. And the finding a sponsor piece, all of the research says it's radically important. So you volunteer for a bunch of projects. Were you choosy about the projects, or were you like, I will jump on whatever's needed because I wanna get noticed. I wanna show them what I can do.
It's actually the latter. And it's more so, Tony, I consider myself a lifetime learner. I love to learn new
Excellent.
things. As an innovator, I'm never happy with status quo. So, looking to try new things, to find better ways to do things, whether that's processes or engaging with the external selling processes. So, it's the latter. I love to learn.
Okay. Perfect, perfect. Okay. So at Lexus and the acquired company that ends up being Lexus, that ends up becoming Lexus, you go to the RVP level, and then you go to a director of sales and business development level, 12 years. So great example of really growing with the company. And that's something on the career advice side. I'm always trying to help people navigate. Okay, so sometimes you have to make a move in order to get growth. Sometimes you have to make a move in order to get paid. There comes a point where making a move, where like you're well paid, you have the right level role. There comes a point where you have to grow with a company, right? You can't move every 2 years for your whole career. So you do that at Lexus. You show long-term results. And then the next move is a really weird one from my perspective, right? So what took you to Microsoft?
So, the technology stack that we were selling was built on Microsoft technology. And when we
Okay.
went into the enterprise insurance companies and were in front of the CTOs, CIOs, we often brought the Microsoft team into those conversations with us. And they got to see my approach to one, re building relationships, and two, solving complex problems for our customers. And they recruited me over to their Northeast division to help them transition from a very product-centric organization to solution selling. Now, even at Microsoft, I was focused on the P&C industry. So they were very large enterprise carriers here in the Northeast that myself and my team were assigned to.
Okay. And then for Microsoft, you come back to an insurance specific supplier. So what brought you back to CoreLogic?
So that was a recruitment from a CEO mentor and back at Insurity that had moved on years ago. And he was brought over to CoreLogic to build out their insurance division. And so he had reached out to let me know what his vision and strategy was at the CoreLogic enterprise and what they were tasked to do in building out an insurance division. And as many of you know, CoreLogic was founded on the mortgage side of our industry. They looked at their portfolio, they looked at their data and said what other industries might gain value from this and selected the insurance industry. I was part of the leadership team that was brought in to help build this insurance division. It was a little bit of CoreLogic's data, theirself on the flood side of the mortgage business, and five founder-based companies through acquisition we brought together as a team and built out an entire business focused on the insurance industry. So that was building a culture, building teams, practices, really scaling that up to a standalone business unit within CoreLogic.
Okay. So basically you've done carrier side, you've done vendors, you've done I don't think of Microsoft as a vendor. That's a pure technology company. And back to vendor for the industry. So super cool experience. You end up on the board of Insurtech Hartford. What do you want to do next? What is the plan for from here? I know that there's some level of consulting that you've been doing, but you've achieved tremendous success in the vendor side of insurance and leading sales. What do you want to do next?
Yeah, so I actually left CoreLogic to take a brief sabbatical to be home with the kids.
Good for
And while
you.
I did that, I was part of Stacy's team on the InsurTech Hartford, helping them build out the ecosystem. And I got to see a lot of great InsurTechs coming out of this committee. And both technology and data and analytics. And so through that, I was helping them with some advisory around go-to-market strategies, sales coaching, sales practices, and so forth and so on. To your answer your question directly, I've got a very broad background, and unique coming from the business side as well as technology and data and analytics. So I am in the process of networking to determine what that next step in my career might look like.
Fantastic. So open-minded to this type of basically anything in the, it sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, anything within the leadership where vendors interact with carriers seems to be the sweet spot.
That is the sweet spot. It's my passion. I love growing teams and building companies and scaling and transforming the insurance industry. We're all out here to make it a stronger and more powerful industry, not only for the carriers and the vendors, but also for the consumers. We want to rebuild that trust, and that journey is a long journey, but I want to be part of that with my experience.
Fantastic. I spend a lot of time telling people that underwriting is a great career. Insurance is a great career, but underwriting especially a fantastic function. And what I tell them a lot about underwriting is you might get there and you might love it. Many people do. Or you might get there, learn a lot, decide you want to go in a different direction. But the beauty of underwriting is a great stepping stone into so many different areas of the industry. And I, my video on the tier list of insurance jobs, which talks about 42 different types of roles in insurance, talks about underwriting as a stepping stone. I didn't even think of the vendor side, right? So it's great to see that it's a great stepping stone even into that side of the industry. So, what a career. Thank you for walking us through it. It one of the things not a lot of books get written about insurance. Not a lot of business biographies get written about insurance. So it's hard to find a map or even get ideas of what the career might look like. So I really appreciate people who take the time to come on the podcast to tell their story, so the next generation has an idea of how and the different paths that an insurance career can take. When this goes live, I will tag your LinkedIn. So for the listeners, if you want to reach out to Carrie, pick her brain or something, or if there's a potential opportunity that you think she might be interested in, easy to find on LinkedIn, show notes below. Thank you so much for your time and have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you, Tony, for having me.